unfailing. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you know when our Father makes a promise, it's not going to fail. You can count on it. Why? Well, He loves you. That may be hard to understand sometimes, but He does. He loves you regardless, okay? And that's called unmerited favor. That's what the word grace actually translates to and from. So it's good to go into the Scripture and find some of those Scriptures that promise unfailing. It's not going to fail. It's going to come to pass as it's written. Open your Bibles, if you will. It seems that Peter used this Greek word more than anyone. The first book of Peter. First book of Peter, we're going to go with chapter 1. Chapter 1 in the great book of Peter. Let's pick it up with verse 18. And verse 18 reads, "For as much as you know what you were," I'm sorry, "for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers." In other words, it wasn't do this, do that, and it wasn't silver and it wasn't gold that saved you. And we find in the next verse what it was. And you want to always remember that. Some people try to buy their salvation, forget it. Do you know something? Many pastors, unfortunately, utilize that on senior citizens when they're nearing the great crossover to bother and tickle their conscience. You know, you have, when Christ died on the cross, when He paid that price for you, He rent the veil to the Holy of Holies, which only the chief priest could go into once a year. Only he could go in once a year. But Christ, through His name, rent that veil from top to bottom that you can go before God day, night, seven days a week, 52 weeks a year. You can go into our Father and say, "I love you and I need your help," or I want to ask your opinion. Okay, our Father. He never slipped. He was always perfect. And He did that for you, showing us how to get it done. Okay? Verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained," He was what? He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, "but was manifest in these last times for you." And that especially goes in these last times today. that he's manifest. It came to be so that you have that strength, that power, that leadership, and victory over all your enemies if you do it in his name under that blood. His word gives you that ability, that power. You want to know where it's guaranteed? Luke 10, verse 19. Following, you're guaranteed there to have power over scorpions, all your enemies. Okay, but you've got to have the knowledge and the wisdom of God to accomplish it. Okay, 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. That's what your faith needs to be in, to be strong. You know something? If you've got enough faith, you can do anything. Because you would be doing it in God's name, and you would be doing it for the Father, and for the brethren, for your fellow man. Why? Because you've got compassion if you be one of God's elect. You care. You care about God's children. 22, this is why we came here, sharpen up for me. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of course, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, loving who? Loving the brethren. Who are the brethren? God's elect. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This word fervently means it can't go wrong. In other words, the word in the Greek is ektenos. And ektenos means without ceasing. It means unfailing. A lot of people get in trouble. You know why? We're supposed to love all of God's children, and that's fine, okay? But if you expect to attain that unfailing love spoken of here for the family, there's a lot of people that claim to be of God's election, and they're not, okay? I kind of hate to tell you that, but it's true. And you can get stung and bit just a little bit if you're not careful. That isn't to say that you're not supposed to love them, but not with this fervent, not with this unfailing love of standing together because you have the same message, the same truth, because it came from the Anointed One, which is to say Jesus Christ. And they will never, most often will never let you down. And that love that you must have for the family, it's unfailing. And do you know something? When you cross someone that you can communicate with, that can understand the Word of God as it is written, then that love grows and abounds, and that friendship and that fellowship is just unfailing. That's what the word means, ektenos. And a very simple word comes from that prime, unfailing, just can't happen. In other words, there is no way that one of God's elect, and I'm speaking of a true, solid election, chosen before the foundation of the world, just as that prior scripture, foreordained, it's unfailing. It's not going to happen. And so it is that we come there. This word is used quite a bit in the book of Peter, and we'll cross it again here in a few moments. 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's Word will strengthen you. It will lead you. It will keep you on the right path, whereby you're blessed. That's what's very important. That, you know, it's much better to be blessed than cursed. So follow Him and love Him. Doesn't mean you're going to be in a born into a bed of roses, but God promised in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I will never tempt you over what you can handle. You can cut it. And I will always show you a way out. Why? You're His servant. You're one of His elect, and He can move you and use you whereby he would not someone that is born with free will, that's not preordained from the first earth age. But some people have a destiny and a purpose, and you knew it, you've known it all your life, that there was more to God's Word than you'd been taught. And you love Him that much, that also is unfailing. That also will always be. That's how it is. Amen. No more need be said about it. Finished. The Word of God. Man may lead you astray a little bit occasionally, and maybe not even intentionally. God's Word will never, if you properly translate it, lead you astray. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. In other words, these flesh bodies are not eternal. But you have a body that dwells within these, that's your soul, your nephesh, which is eternal if you overcome mortality. Mortality is a Greek word that means liable to die. This mortal must put on him mortality, meaning deathlessness. Meaning, you got to love him and overcome. And actually, God's elect do. God corrects you, and he will thump your gourd good if you be one of his elect and you get off track a little bit. He'll pull your rein hard, okay, to get you back in the beaten path, back where he wants you. And you may wonder, what happened there? Well, God just dumped your gourd. Okay? You just say, thank you, Jesus, all right, and get on back to work, okay? These old bodies, they get old, they wither, and they age. If you don't take care of them properly, they're going to get old anyway. But if you take care of them, at least you have a little better trip, okay? Doing it, well, how do you take care of it? God's way, okay? But what he says. 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's unchanging. You know, it cannot change. It will not change. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, it's been before the foundation of the earth. It hasn't changed since then, and it's not about to now. But when, you know, as it is written in Mark 13, this age will pass away, but this word won't. It never passes away. Why? Because it's the word of our Father. And the same rules apply in heaven as they do in the first earth age and here. Okay, his word never changes. Let's go on into the second chapter just a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. That means get rid of that stuff. You're an adult. You put the diapers and the baby bottle of Christianity away a long time ago. Get used to it, okay? Well, it gets a little tough. So toughen up. Okay. Show them what you got. Okay? You can cut it. The reason I know you can cut it, God chose you. And he doesn't make mistakes, okay? Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's the unadulterated. You get into that unadulterated milk. That means word that's not adulterated with the traditions of men that make void the word of God. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I hope you have. I hope in the word, in the truth that you can see, he's gracious. That's unmerited favor. He loves you. That's what, and he wants, what does he want from you? As it's written in Hosea 6:6, he doesn't want your burnt animals. He doesn't want your silver or your gold. He wants your love. He wants you to love him. And he deserves it. After all, look what he's done for you. So backbiting and troublemaking and things like that, you know, in Proverbs 6, it says God hates those things. A lot of people say, well, God hates? Yes, he does. It's written, it's true, and so it is. God does not like someone that stirs trouble in the family of God's elect. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Men ridiculed Christ when he walked the earth. they ended up even beating him. They ended up even putting a crown of thorns on his head. And you know, you'll hear a Christian in a moment say, I just want to be just like Jesus. I want to walk right in his footsteps. And when the thorn of crowns come, they begin to scream and hurt. What happened? Well, you asked for it. You wanted to walk in his footsteps. The earth, this world age is not going to love you. God's children will. And that's important. That's unchangeable. They're going to love you. But the world is not going to love you. Do you know how you overcome that? You get smarter than the world by using your old hip, okay? By that I mean you get wiser than the devil and you take names and kick dragons, okay? It's real easy to outsmart the world. They're not really all that bright, okay? They're really not all that bright. They're sharp in doing wickedness, but it's real easy to outfox, you know, the fox. Okay, if you just stop and think, use God's word, okay? You got nothing to worry about. Yeah, they ridicule him. 5, yet ye also as lively stones, that's living, okay? That means living eternal also, I might remind you, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, what you do is accepted by him. Why? Because you love him. And you're part of that many-membered family that accomplishes his work, his deeds. Okay. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. It's written there. You can count on it. Unfailing. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You're not going to be confused. You're not going to be crossed up. Mystery Babylon is not going to be able to suck you in, okay, with her lies and misleading. You're going to know better from God's word. That's very important that you absorb that. Again, why? God loves you. And again, some of you have a destiny and you've known it. You knew there was something special about this word. This is the special one. It's he that made it possible for us. That cornerstone is that chief cornerstone. You ever wondered why that top cornerstone is missing off the pyramid? That's a different story for a different time, but. Verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. I don't know, do you? I hope so. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's the boss. He is right now. He sits at the right hand of God. And anytime you need him, he's your ambassador. He's there to help you. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the what? The word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Do you know how Christ can become a stumbling stone also? How precious he is that he gave his life and yet he can become a stumbling stone? Yes. Why? Because of Satan. Satan is pretty sharp. He intends to come as Messiah. At the sixth trump. This is before Christ returns. He intends to deceive some people. And they will stumble if you haven't read the word. Like in the book of Revelation, it's simply if you can count the 7, you got it made. Because it gives you the 7 chronological events in order. And if you can count, because the word Revelation, but I heard a preacher say we weren't supposed to understand the book of Revelation. So he lied to you because the word revelation means to reveal, to uncover, to make known. If God had it to be called the uncovering, he intends for you to see it to with understanding, with eyes to see and ears to hear, to know the chronological order of events, that you do not allow your Christianity to become a stumbling block. And just as Jesus would warn in Mark chapter 6, many will come in my name. That means they're claiming to be Christian preachers even. This is Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21. Don't let them fool you, okay? Because that false one does come first, okay? And then he goes on to say, if they tell you he's here or he's there, don't believe it. Don't go. And your purpose and destiny is to witness against that by the Holy Spirit using you, speaking through you. If you're not familiar with that, read Mark 13. A child can understand it, okay? Verse 9, and ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. A precious nation. You know, have you ever wondered why it is that we are so blessed here in this nation that you go down to the Rio Grande and you see one man on a tractor big as two towns plowing a field, and you look across the river and there's a man with a burro barely feeding his family? Do you ever wonder, how can that be? It's because this is a blessed nation under God, and how blessed we are. And you know something? That's not that we should be better than anyone else, but that we in turn should be a blessing to all people in a good way. Sometimes you have to be careful how you help. And that also is part of the old saying, you know, give a man a fish and he'll chow down today, teach him how to fish and he'll eat forever and feed his family. So that's the blessing, to teaching the world how to do as we do. That is to say, have the blessings of God. Well, are you saying, no, there are people everywhere that have the blessings of God, even on the other side of the line. But we are blessed. The superpower of superpowers in these end times didn't happen by accident, okay? It's God-given, and you don't ever want to forget that. Verse 10 to complete. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That means unmerited favor, used of God. And God does use his children, and not just a political thing, certainly, but to bring forth truth. And when God touches something, like even this little old church in Northwest Arkansas, goes around the world in two different directions, and video covering every square foot of this hemisphere, south and north. Okay, that's awesome. Well, who did that? God did. Our Father made that possible. Why? Because his truth, his word, must go forth, and it is unfailing. What does that mean to you? It means that what you believe in is unfailing. What you put your faith in is unfailing. It means that you are unfailing. You may slip and you may fall down, but you'll get back up and you'll keep going. And God will bless you and you'll do just fine. Turn with me to chapter 2 of the same book. I'm sorry, we want to go to chapter 4 of this same book. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 reads, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. In other words, he paid that price, and when you understand that you have that repentance, all you got to do is ask, have a change of heart and ask. He loves forgiveness. That's the beauty of Christianity. Don't ever forget it. Well, I just like to blame myself. Well, tough, okay? What a trip, you know, to come down on yourself that way. You know, the only excuse you have for not forgiving yourself is you're not as good as you think you are, okay? You messed up. It happened to you just like it does a lot of other people. This is what Jesus said. I quoted already 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The very first line in that verse, which I didn't repeat earlier, says, nothing happens to you that didn't come to everybody. Okay. Happens to everybody. Okay. And so it is. Just get over it and get alive. You know, repent and know that He loves you. Why? Because you can cut it. You're can-do type people. Because you're chosen in the Word. You know the Word, you believe, and you can handle it. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's the way you should live. Well, what is God's will? Well, He'll tell you in the Word. The Holy Spirit will touch you. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revilings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Past history, gone. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Certain people of your peers in this world are going to say, are you too good to go with us when they're in bad trouble? Okay. You just too good to be with us? It isn't a matter that you're too good. You're smarter than that. Okay. You got more wisdom than that. You know better than to go there. Why? Because you've already reasoned out what'll happen to you if you do. Why get involved? So, it doesn't pay to run with the wrong crowd. That crowd is painted, marked, worthless, going nowhere, but damn. You don't need that. You need to be blessed. And let me tell you something. Young people especially, Christians have a lot more fun than that crowd does. Christians enjoy life a lot more than that crowd does. We can really enjoy living. They can't. Okay. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You don't have to worry about giving account. It's in the book. Okay. But he knows, and he watches and cares. Verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Do you understand that? You may have trouble with it, because in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, while Christ was yet in the tomb, he went all the way back to the time of Noah and preached to those people. That means to the very beginning. That means Adam and Eve. He preached to them and gave them the opportunity of salvation. Let's just read it. Verse chapter 3, verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing within few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. In other words, eight Adamic souls. There was two of every flesh aboard. The like figure were in even baptism. But anyway, he went back to that. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit, by which also, verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That means those already dead. Why? God doesn't play favorites. If God caused Emmanuel, God with us, to die on the cross to forgive sins on repentance, what about all those that died before that? They didn't have Christ to repent to. Oh, yes, they did. Because he went to them and gave them that opportunity. That's what that verse is talking about, is that he went there and absolutely released some of them. Okay? Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. This is why this is important. It's why we've got this lecture today. I'll say that again. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. In other words, the elect generation needs to pay attention. You really, of all things, need to know the unfailing thing. Okay. Verse 8, this is why we came here. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That's fervent love. That word fervent is the word I told you about earlier in the Greek that means unfailing, unchangeable. Unchangeable what? Unchangeable love, charity, among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. When you love the family, you work with the family, God protects that. He nourishes it. I mean, after all, it is His family. And it makes Him feel real good, because inasmuch as He created all things for His pleasure, Revelation chapter 4, last verse, He expects you to give Him some pleasure. If you don't, you're really not much good to Him. Okay? And what does He want? He wants your love. That's what charity means. Okay? But He wants it fervently. That's now again, I forewarned you. This is to God's elect. You're to love everybody, but this fervent understanding goes to those that are in the Word. Okay. You want me to say that one more time? We are to love everyone, but that unfailing, unchangeable love is to the family that serves God. Okay. And do you know what it does? It covers a multitude of sins. All those little sins you do and everything when you love the family and kick in there and get it done. He can kind of overlook, especially on repentance, those other things. How precious our Father is that He gives us this message, that He gives us the truth, that He gives us this family that was foreordained, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, that He knows and understands. One more verse, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Verse 10, rather, as every man hath received the gift, whatever it is that God's gift is to you, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards and of the manifold grace of God. So there you have it. And a lot of people say, well, what's my gift? I just don't seem to find it. You know, ask another member of the family. They can probably tell you because they can sense it. They can feel it when you've got it. Gift in the Greek means charisma, okay? And if you have charisma in the gift that God gives you, it's all over you. It shows. But the ultimate in these end times is to know and understand and be ready to stand against the false one that tries to mislead your people. Okay? He's really going for it. He's going to play Jesus. That's why they call Him instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means in the Greek. And He comes at the sixth trump. Christ doesn't come till the seventh. And we can cut it, though. We can handle it. Why? Because God gives us power and wisdom over all of our enemies. No step for a stepper, okay? Piece of cake. That's what these end times are, and it's exciting. Very, very exciting. Now, in closing, one more place with Peter. I can think of two I'd like to go to. We'll see how time runs along here. But go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. There is something else that won't change. 3 says there's going to be people come along in the end times and they're going to say to you, it ain't going to happen. It's been this way since the beginning of time. Well, it hasn't. Israel was never a nation from the crucifixion up until the year of our Lord, 1948. And that was the thumbprint in Scripture that would mark the generation that would be the last one. And it's the generation of the fig tree. Okay? And these gainsayers would come along and say that, hey, don't believe it. You know, we have interesting things taking place. We know one of the signs is there would be more numerous earthquakes. Well, chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to say it's 5, rather. These gainsayers that would say that, for this they willingly are ignorant of. They just choose to be ignorant. That by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, there was an earth age before this. That's why we find remains of dinosaur. I mean, you know, it's a fact and God's word declares it that there was an age before this one. Okay? And whereby, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's not Noah's flood. That's the big one. And that's the one that moved the plate, Stephen. It's called in the Greek the katabole, which is the overthrow of Satan when that first earth age was done away with. And this one came in at the age of salvation. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, this one, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Perdition means just that, destruction. Okay. That's the prime of one of Satan's names, the destroyer. Okay. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So how long is the Lord's day? It's 1,000 years. Well, what's 1,000 years? It's a millennium, okay? Written of many times, referred to many times, that 1,000-year period, which is the Lord's day. And so it is. That's when the Lord returns, the true Christ, and things kind of begin to be put back in order. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, they can say it's just the same all they want to. He's not slack. It's going to happen. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. That means he's got lots of patience to usward. That's to you. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he hopes. And do you know something? That's why he touches you. That you plant seeds. And that you work to bring people into the truth. You know, it may not seem like a big thing to you, but it does to him. That gently and firmly, protecting your credibility to share that word, that truth, gently, and bring people into Christ. God is long-suffering. What? Look how many thousands of years he's had to wait. But he has that patience. Why? They're his children. He doesn't want to destroy them. He wants salvation to come to them. Verse 10, this is why we came here. But the day of the Lord, and tell me again, how long is the day of the Lord? 1,000 years. Will come as a thief in the night. You're not in the night because you're a child of day. Okay, a child of light. Not going to deceive you. In the which the heaven shall pass away and a great noise, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. That word fervent is the same Greek word. Unchangeable. Unfailing. It's going to happen. With a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, that just frightens a lot of people. And if it does, it shows your ignorance. Okay, and I'm not talking down to you, but I want you to know. What did it say that the earth, what part of the earth would be burned up? Did it say the earth would? No. It said, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What is the elements? It's a Greek word, stachyon. It means the rudiments, the evil things. God's not going to burn those he loves. Do you know how you feel that same fire? It's the warmth of the Holy Spirit, for God is a consuming fire. That's unchangeable, my friend. That word, fervent, as it's listed here, is that same Greek word, unchangeable. It's going to happen exactly that way. But it's not your house, it's not your life that gets scorched. He loves you. It was for this same reason, and I'm sure all of you have heard me use this comparison or this analogy before, and this is this, that the Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than necessary. Were they singed? No. Who walked with them? The Lord Jesus Christ. He walks with you also. You can't be burned. Why? He loves you. God's in control. But that's all the more reason the wicked need to really pay attention, because it's going up in smoke. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversations and godliness? I hope you wouldn't want to be part of the rudiments. That's pretty definite what happens to it. So what person should you be? One that loves God. For when you love him, and you know something, that's not asking much of you for all he's done for us, is that you love him. You should. Well, he's your eternity. He's your everything. He's your family together, not just you. Your family that believes together forever and ever and ever in bliss, in heavenly bliss. It's so very, very important, okay, in following him. Verse 12, to complete. Looking for and hastening unto the day, the coming of the day of God. Well, how long is that day again? It's the millennium, 1,000 years. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There heaven also is included. The elements, both above and below, gone. That is to say, wicked elements. Elements that are that don't show that fervent love for the family. I hope in this you understand that the foremost thing that is unchangeable, that is unfailing, is the love for family, for people that have truth, to know and to be able to communicate in what? The Word of God, without the inflow of traditions of men, but the very Word itself that strengthens, that blesses, that prospers, that kicks all the rocks out of the road that you can't handle. I'll say that again, that you can't handle. There'll be some there for you to handle because you're tough. But those that you can't, he'll take care of for you. You can count on it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the Word. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for using this family. Thank you, Father, for the platform that you have given us that reaches around the world as it grows by leaps and bounds, especially in this end generation, Father. Thank you for that. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.